All right, this very big NFL news day continues. More breaking news involving a potential trade. This time with Cooper Kupp, whom the 49ers are very familiar with, star receiver in the NFC West. But since the last time I talked to you regarding Myles Garrett, who requested the trade this morning from the Cleveland Browns, the 49ers are already luring Myles Garrett. Yes. Courtesy of Brad at the SF Niners does a great job. I think he's at the Super Bowl now. I think he went from Mobile to New Orleans, so you should definitely follow Brad. But he was able to package this post from Diamador Lenore on Instagram. He combined it with Diamador Lenore's tweet, which you see at the bottom. So it's both an Instagram story and a tweet. First, a tweet. What type of animal you want to be? We got hyenas, bears, lions, and gorillas. That's Diamador Lenore, the hyena. That's what he calls himself. Tweeting at Myles Garrett. And then Diamador Lenore posts on Instagram, let's get a ring, tweeting toward Myles Garrett. So, again, the Cleveland Browns have to want to trade, and they actually have to go through with the trade of Myles Garrett, who requested the trade today. So that's the first domino that has to fall. It's a very necessary domino that has to fall. But if that does happen, and there are a lot of reasons for it to happen, because Cleveland is not winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, and Myles Garrett wants to win a Super Bowl. If it does happen, then we have seen in the recent past superstar players in the NFL steer their way toward a preferred destination. And the 49ers want to make themselves a preferred destination for Myles Garrett. The defense certainly would benefit from a monstrous edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. It'd be very hard to double team Nick Bosa in that scenario. So Diamador Lenore already hard at work. We'll see if there's any other back channel work. I mentioned a little bit earlier today, don't forget Joel Bitonio, left guard for the Cleveland Browns, is one more year under contract, 33 years old. So he's past his prime, but the 49ers don't have a starting left guard under contract for next season. Aaron Banks' contract is expiring in March, and Jonathan Jones of CBS made the point that Joel Bitonio has indicated that he's not interested in a rebuild. And Myles Garrett just told the world that the Cleveland Browns are in a rebuild. So Cleveland can run from that fact, but they can't hide. They paid Deshaun Watson the worst contract in NFL history. That contract has put them in a really tough spot. Myles Garrett sees that really tough spot as far as the actual football on the field goes, and he wants out. He wants to go to a contender. Financially, a contender can easily pick up his contract, $6.3 million cap hit in 2025. And because he wants to win a Super Bowl, I don't think that a new contract is a prerequisite for Myles Garrett. Now, financially, Cleveland, because of the Watson deals, restructured Bitonio. They've restructured Myles Garrett. So they have pushed a lot of cap hits for these two players far into the future. That makes it harder for them to trade these players because the dead money hits can accelerate and hit. It's easier for an acquiring team to absorb the cap hits of these players. But the situation with the Browns is, they're in between a rock and a hard place. I read today that they would actually have, Jason from Over the Cap wrote this, I read today that they actually would have to restructure Deshaun Watson to the fullest to be able to fit the room to trade somebody like Myles Garrett, because Myles Garrett would incur a bigger cap hit to trade than to keep. But once you get stuck in this position by your own doing, and the Browns have nobody to blame but themselves, then it's going to be very hard to move forward keeping Myles Garrett on the roster. I mean, he had a whole formal press release requesting his trade. So that's why players like Diamador Lenore on the 49ers are interested in luring Myles Garrett over to the West Coast. We'll see what happens next. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns will eventually have to be willing participants. This might just be the start of a long divorce between the reigning defensive player of the year and one of the least successful franchises in American football. Cleveland Browns general manager Kevin Costner is pulling his hair out tonight. He is not happy about the direction of the Cleveland Browns. Mount Whitney High School alumnus, Visalia, California, Kevin Costner. That, by the way, is a draft day reference. I know Kevin Costner, not actually the GM of the Cleveland Browns, but he is in the movie and he's dealing with another crisis like he did in the movie. The other news is that the Rams are looking to trade Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp posted this on his Twitter today. I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in LA. Still, if there's one thing that I have learned over the years, there are so many things that are out of your control, but it is how you respond to these things that you will look back on and remember. I have taken so much pride in playing alongside my teammates for the LA community. So thank you for embracing my family and making this such a special place for us. 2024 began with one of the best training camps of my career. Preparations now start for 2025. Highly motivated, as healthy as ever, and looking forward to playing elite football for years to come. Love you guys, but coming for it all. So the funniest comment on that was source, question mark. Yes, the source is Cooper Kupp himself. He's going to be 32 next year. So when he says that elite football is going to be on its way for years to come, you scratch your head. I mean, if you were Jerry Rice, then yeah, I would say elite football still on its way for years to come. Jerry Rice was doing it into his 40s. 32 was just the beginning of Jerry Rice's prime. But Jerry Rice was Jerry Rice. That's the greatest football player of all time. In the case of Cooper Kupp, well, he was absolutely awesome 4 years ago in that 2021 season. I mean, we cannot overstate how insanely good Cooper Kupp was in 2021. I think it's even worth putting his statistics up on the screen from Pro Football Reference, because that was one of the great seasons ever. It was a record-breaking season for Kupp. Here it is. Pro Football Reference, you can see, I'll highlight 2021. Look at that. 1,947 yards on 145 catches for Kupp. 114 and a half yards per game. But the thing is that he has not hit 1,000 yards in a season since then. It's declined every single season since then. And health issues have obviously been a problem. Hasn't been able to put together a full 17-game season since 2021. 812 yards, 737 yards, 710 yards over the past three seasons for Cooper Kupp. And the yards per game have also decreased from 90 to 62. 67, that increased a little bit from 23 to 24. Anyway, when you talk about a trade, because we were talking about it so much in the context of Myles Garrett, you always have to look at the remaining contract for any particular player. So in the case of Garrett, you know, one of the things we noted is that the contract would be cheap for another team to acquire. Would it be the same case for Cooper Kupp? Well, let's go to Over the Cap and have a look at his contract. We could see the remainder of what the Rams currently owe him. And if you trade it, you trade the contract away, not just the player, you trade the contract away. So you see what other teams would potentially acquire. So here it is for Cooper Kupp, 2025 and 2026. So he's got a roster bonus that's due at some point this offseason. He's got a base salary. So $12.5 million base salary, $7.5 million roster bonus. That is 12.5 plus 7.5. That is what? That's about, that's exactly $20 million, right? And you've got 14.85 plus $5 million roster bonus next year. That's going to be about $20 million, a little bit less than $20 million for Cooper Kupp. So we know what the receiver scale is now. Justin Jefferson paces it. Brandon Ayuk's at about $30 million per year. Cooper Kupp essentially has 2 years at $20 million per year remaining on his contract. So the question is, will another team be willing to part ways with some valuable draft capital for 2 years of Cooper Kupp at $20 million per season? And he's going to be 32 years old, and he hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiving season since 2021. I think maybe a lower round pick. I think more than anything, the Rams want to get this contract off of their books. They stand to save $20 million in each of the last two seasons. They're going to have to pay some dead money because of prorated signing bonus money. But I think more than anything, the Rams want the longer-term cap savings. They see Kupp as a declining player. And if you can get rid of him and get just some draft capital in return, it's a win for the Rams. Because if you have to wait another year before you do it, before Cooper Kupp's lame duck year of his contract in 2026, you probably don't get anything if you're the Rams. So just maybe you get that mid to lower round pick if you're LA and you are happy. That's what I see. But I just want to take some time because this is an NFC West thing and this relates to the 49ers and Cooper Kupp, you know, was gunning for that record against the 49ers in week 17. That was an epic game. The 49ers beat the Rams to head to the playoffs. Remember Jimmy Garoppolo hitting Deebo Samuel, then hitting Juwan Jennings. But that was the Cooper Kupp record game for the Rams as well. And then the Rams beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And it was Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. that absolutely blistered, obliterated the 49ers down the stretch. He was good. He was electric. This was a hell of a story, and I think that Cooper Kupp deserves a lot of respect, deserves some time to talk about him in this show, and then we could talk about potential teams that he's going to get traded to. The Rams obviously won't trade him within the division to the 49ers, but we can talk about the Bills. Heaven forbid 49ers fans will say the Chiefs if he heads over there. Both of those teams could use some more receiving help, but the question is, would they be willing to absorb the $20 million over the next two seasons for a receiver who is going to be 32 years old. Anyway, the way that I look at Cooper Kupp, you know, if I had to have a comparison for a career, I'm going to leave the football realm. I'm going to head into baseball. I think that Cooper Kupp with these two awesome seasons, oops, we can erase that. With these two awesome seasons, we have 2020. I keep on clicking on one of the seasons it's expanding. I don't know how to get rid of that, guys. We're looking at a window of Cooper Kupp's career here. But with these three seasons that I've highlighted and the two seasons starting and ending it, 1,161 yards in 2019. And then, I mean, just the seismic 2021, the record-breaking 2021 with nearly 2,000 receiving yards. My comparison for Cooper Kupp's career is Tim Lincecum, the Giants pitcher. Yes, Tim Lincecum, both undersized, but both delivering absolutely insane numbers for relatively short stretches of their careers. And then it fizzles out a little bit. I mean, Kupp has been around since 2017, the first year of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch with the 49ers. He was college teammates with Kendrick Bourne at Eastern Washington. But nobody, absolutely nobody, saw Cooper Kupp going for almost 2,000 receiving yards in that 2021 season. And he deserves a lot of love for that. And absolutely nobody saw Tim Lincecum throwing the baseball, 100 miles an hour. And that changeup was nasty and, you know, guiding the Giants to two World Series wins. Kupp was huge for the Rams, especially in that Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. He tore it up in that Super Bowl when they beat the Bengals. But Kupp was huge for the Rams on the way to one world title. Didn't get that second one with the Rams. But that's my comp. For a receiver, you know, with relatively limited size, he's listed at 6'2". I'm not sure if he's that tall. I think he's probably closer to 6 feet, 6'1". You know, showed up and didn't look like the 6'4", 6'5", dominator that we would think would go for a 2,000 yards in a season or close to it. Yet he was able to make it work with a combination of lining up in the slot, lining up outside. Cooper Kupp really changed the way that we look at the slot receiver position, right? A lot of the best cornerbacks, especially in the NFC West with the 49ers, in D'Amato Lenore, somebody we put up on the screen just a little bit ago, some of the best cornerbacks are now playing inside. Like they're playing slot cornerback. They're having to play both. I mean, Lenore is an inside-out corner now. And you know, this goes back to the Rams in 2020, actually, when Brandon Staley was their defensive coordinator. I just had to put D'Amato Lenore up on the screen. Brandon Staley was the coordinator of the Rams who had Jalen Ramsey play both inside and out, slot cornerback and outside cornerback, and he would rotate between the two so that the Rams could maximize the advantages in their matchups. And the Rams in 2020 obviously had Cooper Kupp on their football team, really blossoming into his prime. And they saw this guy who was playing in the slot over 60% of the time. You know, it used to be that your best receivers would play outside, and then it would be shiftier, smaller guys with the good three-cone drill playing on the inside, and there used to be a rigid delineation between the two. And then I think that coaches started wising up to it. They said, we can get an advantage over defenses if we move our best receivers to the inside more often. And Cooper Kupp was one of the guys who was spearheading this whole movement. He caught nearly 2,000 receiving yards lining up on the inside over 60% of the time in that 2021 season. So around the time that he was doing that for the Rams made sure that their best corner, one of the best in the game, Jalen Ramsey, was following receivers to the inside. He was playing both outside cornerback and slot cornerback. Brandon Staley called it the star position. Brandon Staley then became the coach of the 49ers, not the coordinator, the assistant head coach of the 49ers, but he worked a lot with the defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, worked a lot with the DBs, and made sure that D'Amato Lenore was an outside-inside cornerback for the 49ers, playing both. And Lenore had to cover Cooper Kupp at times, although this wasn't prime Cooper Kupp. Lenore was just a rookie back in 2021. So the game has changed, and it all ties together, because as we're talking about Cooper Kupp, we're also talking about the 49ers, who are already luring Myles Garrett. That, yes, that's where D'Amato Lenore comes into all of this. What type of animal do you want to be? We got hyenas, bears, lions, and gorillas. That's what D'Amato Lenore said on Twitter. You can see it there at the bottom. Credit there to Brad Graham for putting this together. Go check out the SF Niners. Lenore wants Garrett. Well, the Browns would have to trade Garrett to the 49ers, and the 49ers would have to meet the Browns' asking price, so that's still a long ways away. But as I said this morning, you can never say never, because the 49ers are only a couple of years removed from trading for Christian McCaffrey, sending what, four draft picks over to Carolina for Christian McCaffrey. That was a let's push a lot of chips into the middle of the table move. And when you talk about elite talent, you can't replace it in the NFL. There is no substitute for elite talent. The guy up on your screen, D'Amato Lenore is a really good talent, but the truly elite talent, let's take nothing away from D'Amato Lenore. There are two really good players up on the screen, but the guy on the very right of the screen in the orange helmet, I always thought that it was funny that the Browns wore orange helmets. You know, I guess that the Browns, we can talk about the name of the Browns. They're named after their owner, who was Paul Brown. Like, that's the name of a person, which is why they have orange helmets. That's not the color brown. Anyway, I digress. That is an elite player up on the screen. The things I learned reading that book about Bill Walsh, we'll get to that another time. Myles Garrett is a Brown as we speak, but he may not be a Brown for the 2025 season. And the 49ers would hope that he's a 49er for that 2025 season if they can win the trade sweepstakes. I think they've got the fifth highest odds at the moment to go get Myles Garrett. And we know that the 49ers will be interested, and we know that they're going to kick the tires based on prior history. San Francisco in 2018 went after Khalil Mack, offered more than the Bears, but Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, didn't want to deal with the 49ers. 49ers have kicked the tires on Aaron Rodgers 2021 draft day before they picked up Trey Lance. San Francisco has, in fact, consummated a trade for Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that's the biggest piece of evidence to let us know that the 49ers will leave no stone unturned. But I really don't want people to forget about Joel Bitonio, the 33-year-old guard. That would be the best left guard, which is a really important position that the 49ers have had under Shanahan and Lynch. He's only got 1 year left on his contract. The Browns are in obvious rebuild mode. Their players are jumping ship. You could see with Myles Garrett's post today, Joel Bitonio, according to Jason Jones, would not want to play through a rebuild. It is certainly a rebuild. The Browns have themselves to thank for that. They gave way too much money, gave up way too much for Deshaun Watson, who was the worst quarterback in the league even before he got hurt. And if that's the case, well, Joel Bitonio might find a home in San Francisco to end his career, just like Alex Mack found a home in San Francisco to end his career back in 2021. That season where the 49ers saw Cooper Kupp make history. saw Cooper Kupp head to the Super Bowl, and really, I thought that Cooper Kupp was the driving force of that Rams Super Bowl, as we saw with the MVP award after that game. So it all ties together, but Joel Bitonio, Cooper Kupp, and Myles Garrett are the big names of today. This is a 49ers update. We've got one more piece of this update. Remember Drake Jackson? We haven't heard from him in a long time. Well, he posted a video today to social media that we can check out. Drake Jackson, recovery. Remember that he had a knee surgery that actually sidelined him for the entire 2024 season. This is a 49ers former second round pick. It's already been several years since the 49ers drafted Drake Jackson in the second round. Gave him a little bit in that 2022 season. That was when he was a rookie. He was actually the first draft pick in the class that saw the 49ers pick Brock Purdy. So front end of the draft was Drake Jackson in the second round out of USC. Brock Purdy was at the tail end of that draft at pick number 262 in the seventh round. But Jackson, you know, he showed some flashes early on. I remember that he had a big interception play against the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium late in that 2022 season. Then he actually had three sacks to begin the 2023 season. He had his dad on the show, Dennis Jackson. But then came the injuries, the knee issues, and he missed all of 2024 with a complication to that knee injury. So we didn't see Drake at all. And yes, the 49ers can use more edge rushing depth. So they still have Drake Jackson under contract. He's still working hard to try to get back from that knee injury. The video that I just played you is the update that we have on Drake Jackson. And I think that that ties into what we're talking about today. 49ers, edge rushing position, already trying to lure Myles Garrett over. There's D'Amato Lenore and his social media posts. Myles Garrett's at the top end when you talk about potentially available edge rushers, but you have to have depth as well. And, you know, I think it's fitting that today's the 17th anniversary of the Giants and the NASCAR package defensive line beating the New England Patriots, forcing the New England Patriots into an 18-1 record in the Super Bowl. That happened 17 years ago today. That wasn't just the front line for the Giants. That was a deep, deep defensive line. So anything you could get out of Drake Jackson would help if you're the 49ers. Anything that you could get out of the guys that are currently on the roster is going to help. It's not just going to be about landing a big fish like Myles Garrett. It's not going to just be about landing somebody through the NFL draft. We've talked a lot about Mike Green, for example. It's the name I keep on bringing up after the Super Bowl. It's going to be about finding the productivity out of the margins of this roster if you're the 49ers. And the margins of this roster, look, we could look at them right here. We have the roster ready to go. Defensive line is actually where they have the most players under contract already for the 2025 season. Look at this at the D-line for San Francisco. Bosa, Collins, Elliott, Floyd, Okawanu, Kalia Davis, Evan Anderson, and Yetur Gross-Matos. The defensive line is what I talked about from Paris this past week. We did the big D-line look on the San Francisco Standards, and then we talked about it in this video. By the way, how about this illustration? This is up on the Standard. You could see the article. Oops, I made the text a little bit too small. But, I mean, this is from Clay Rodery. Does some illustrations for us. This was awesome with Nick Bosa. Anyway, state of the 49ers defensive line. Help for Nick Bosa's D-line could come on draft night. Now, this was before any of the Myles Garrett trade request stuff broke through. But I made this table looking at the 49ers D-line, and red is good and blue. Red is bad. Sorry. Red is bad. Blue is good. You want to be darker blue. These are grades for the pass rush and for the run defense. And as you can see, you've got Bosa in blue, Collins a little bit of blue, Hargrave was a good pass rusher, but then he got hurt. Givens was doing okay with the pass rush, but the run defense, boy, nothing good outside of Nick Bosa in run defense for the 49ers. They could definitely use more firepower along that defensive line. I'm sending this over to Mike. You can go ahead and check out the link in the description. And while we are at it, that's the ad read right there. We got to go to that. While we're at this, we are going to take a look at our sponsor today, Public Rec. This show is brought to you by Public Rec. The Game Changer pants from Public Rec are awesome. You can wear them at a formal occasion or you can wear them as sweatpants. Like they're literally that comfortable, but they look so good at the same time. Usually when you order comfortable pants, you only need to pick from small, medium, large, and extra large sizes. With Public Rec pants, you get to select the exact width and length that you need. Whether you're 30 by 30 or 44 by 36, you can find your perfect fitting pants. Public Rec pants come in so many unique colors, from navy, dark olive, and stone gray. You're sure to find the right color for you. Their proprietary blend of performance materials provides the perfect combination of breathability and stretch while still holding its form. You'll never want to take them off. So this February, treat yourself right, because comfort is always in season. Upgrade to Public Rec and feel the difference. For a limited time, you can get 20% off at Public Rec by using the code Lombardi at checkout. Just head to publicrec.com and use Lombardi and you're all set. Oh, and when they ask you how you found them, be sure to mention our show. It really helps us out. Find your perfect fit and never compromise on comfort again. Public Rec, where comfort rules. Public Rec. So, you know, we're trying to lure you to buy some Public Rec pants. Check out the San Francisco Standard, which is right here with this awesome illustration. Mike put the description or the link into the description of this article. And then obviously, we are also talking about Cooper Kupp and D'Amador Lenore. Speaking of that, Myles Garrett news for the NFL and for the 49ers today. It's a good way to encapsulate it. Nice job there from Brad putting that up on the SF Niners. San Francisco also, you know, I made the update on Dre Greenlaw the other day. Fred Warner actively trying to get him to come back to the 49ers. Robert Saleh is adamant, according to Nick Bosa, about Greenlaw coming back. We're going to have a busy few weeks here talking about who the 49ers are going to pursue, they're going to re-sign, who they're going to trade for, sign in free agency, and then obviously the player acquisition process will all be capped off by the NFL draft, which is coming up at the end of April. So that's why you definitely should sign up for the Standard, because tomorrow we got a big piece coming up on the state of the 49ers. Again, this is an 8-part series that we're running. Tomorrow's is going to look at the 49ers running back room. So, you know, maybe we're going to talk about some rookies that the 49ers can draft. And maybe we're going to have a nice illustration of Christian McCaffrey. So definitely check out the San Francisco Standard, sign up. It's going to be a fun offseason as we go through all of that. What a day. I didn't expect February 3rd to be this busy, but it has been this busy, and we can move on to a few questions. 49ers Q&A is now open. All right, I'm looking through some of these. See if we have anything about. Well, we could talk about Myles Garrett. If you want to talk about Cooper Kupp, that's interesting to me. I'm wondering, you know, which team is going to be interested in trading for Kupp at that price, at that age. I know it's going to be outside the NFC West. I think the 49ers are happy that Kupp will be leaving the NFC West. He's a vet, savvy, knew how to find holes in their defense. It's going to be hard for the Rams to get immediately better, but I see this as a long-term move from LA. Is DJ Jones still a possibility for the 49ers? Yes. I'd look at that as a possibility. Kinlaw, DJ Jones, they need defensive tackle help moving forward. Panthers could trade for Kupp. I don't think about the Panthers all too often, but they could trade for Cooper Kupp, I suppose, yes. What do I think the 49ers have to give up to get Myles Garrett? I mean, this is obviously the money question. It was two first-round picks that were necessary for Khalil Mack. That was in 2018. I believe that the price of players has gone down and the value of salary cap of draft picks has gone up, probably due to the salary cap. We haven't seen this kind of haul for players that we saw with Khalil Mack in the years since. So two first-round picks might be a little bit rich, but I always look at it now, especially since the Christian McCaffrey trade for the 49ers worked out, just look at it as you don't know if number 11 is going to be any good or not. I think the number 11 by itself would be highway robbery in the 49ers' favor. If all they had to do is send number 11 to Cleveland, that would be ridiculous. I think it's got to be more than that. But is it up to the cost of two first-round picks, or would it be number 11 plus a third-rounder? Would Cleveland entertain welcoming a player from the 49ers into the mix? I doubt that. It would have to be a prospect, I think. It would have to be somebody that's a rising stock, because Cleveland, given the whole Deshaun Watson thing and the failure that has been the Browns, especially of the past couple years, Myles Garrett called it out today. The Browns are in rebuilding mode. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He don't want to be part of a rebuild. So how quickly are the Browns going to admit that they're in a rebuild? The front office has to admit that. And then as soon as they do that, then I think that the price that they set for Myles Garrett is going to have to reflect the fact that they are in a rebuild. So we'll see what that price is. I don't know if it's going to be two first-round picks or if it's going to be something in between one first-round pick and two first-round picks. That seems to be the general range based on recent deals, based on gut instinct. Yes, two first-round picks is a steep price if it does get to that, because the reason that draft picks are so valuable is because they're cost-controlled ways to build a football team. I will go back to this comparison. The 49ers have 10 picks in this draft. Those 10 picks are going to cost $13 million total for 2025 on the cap. Chase Young signed for the New Orleans Saints for $13.5 or $13.4 million all by himself in 2024. So one player in free agency, who not even a great player, costs the same as 10 players, and you could have multiple superstars for all you know. 10 players in the draft. This could be a Brock Purdy in the draft, right, out of those 10 picks. So draft picks are valuable and rightfully so, but they are still a crapshoot. For every Brock Purdy, there could be a Reuben Foster, right? There could be a flameout. Could be somebody who doesn't deliver, is not consistent at the NFL level. So there is value in the sure thing. And Myles Garrett is a future Hall of Famer, 29 years old. He is a sure thing. Yeah, for every Brock Purdy, there could also be a Trey Lance. Maybe that's a better example there. Because Reuben Foster had a lot of talent on the football field, right? I mean, if he had been able to stay healthy and stay out of trouble, that was really good talent that we saw shine in portions of that 2017 season. But unfortunately for the 49ers, it was not to be with Reuben Foster. What would the cap hit be for the 11th pick? That's a good question, Michael. Probably worth me looking it up. I've got it right here. The cap hit for the 11th pick would be $3.9 million. Be $3.9 million for this season. It's significant because the number one pick, the cap hit, is $7.5 million. So if you're at the very top, it costs significantly more than if you move down to number 11, where it's that number between $3 and $4 million. Chloe is right. Draft picks are more cost-effective than free agency. Stefan just tuning in. Is there any news on the 49ers actually pursuing Garrett? Well, their players are right there, D'Amato Lenore. I mean, Myles Garrett is under contract with the Browns. So the 49ers front office can't try to be luring Myles Garrett. The players can be trying to lure Myles Garrett. The Amon Lenore's doing it. Maybe other players are texting him. But it's all going to be contingent on the Browns actually wanting to trade Myles Garrett. On that, it's going to be quiet until the Browns actually want to trade Myles Garrett. That's just the reality of this situation. It's going to take a while probably for this to develop. Diana Russini was saying this could be an ugly few weeks because the Browns currently don't want to trade him. I think the Browns are in denial about where they are. And a team that gave up $230 million fully guaranteed to Deshaun Watson when the market was at like $120 million fully guaranteed, a team that bid against itself for a quarterback who hadn't played in over a year and has now seen that quarterback be the worst QB in the league and then tear his Achilles twice, a team that is that poorly managed may not be expected to come around to rational thinking when it comes to Myles Garrett's request immediately. You're probably going to have to give the Browns some time because this has not been shown to be a well-run NFL franchise. Poor Kevin Costner at the GM position. We're talking a lot of crap about Kevin Costner running the Browns. So Steve asks, no matter what team Garrett goes to, will he demand a re-sign before he plays? He has no guaranteed money. Maybe he wants a redone contract that it will give him guaranteed money. I'm not so sure because Myles Garrett came out today in a written statement said, I want to play for a Super Bowl. To me, that's code for a redone contract is not mandatory, or at the very least, the redone contract that makes it prohibitive to trade me to a team that is in a tight salary cap situation is not mandatory. Sometimes you got to pick your lane, right? You have to say, okay, if I want to play for a winner, I'm demanding a trade. I'm going to have to be okay going there with an amenable salary cap situation. Christian McCaffrey came to the 49ers without any guaranteed money left on his deal. And it wasn't until the third season in, it wasn't until after two seasons, a season and a half, with the 49ers that he demanded the new deal. So Christian McCaffrey played on an existing deal without any more guaranteed money for quite some time. And that really benefited the 49ers because they were able to get him at $670,000 on the cap in 2022. So right now, Myles Garrett would cost $6.3 million on the cap for the 49ers in the 2025 season for any team that would pick him up under the existing contract, which is very affordable, right? And it's because the Browns have had to restructure his contract, kind of like the Panthers restructured the Christian McCaffrey deal. The Browns are on the hook for all this dead money that they've pushed into the future, but the base salary is at the minimum, and the 49ers would only inherit the base salary and the roster bonus, both of which are not large, which add up to $6.3 million. So I think that Garrett saying that he's willing, he hadn't said that he's willing to play on the same deal, but he has said that his goal is to win a Super Bowl. And that carries some meaning. That means that he might be willing, probably is willing to help a new team out, a contender out with his contractual situation. Again, and this is also not up to Garrett. It's up to who the Browns trade with. That Garrett can potentially steer this into certain directions, but it's complicated, and it's going to take two to tango. And that's going to also include the Cleveland Browns. I think it's going to be crazy, though. Diana Rossini predicted it's going to be crazy, so I think it's going to be crazy as well. All right, what a day. It was fun talking about Cooper Kupp. Don't forget about Joel Bitonio, by the way. 49ers, D'Amato Lenore, already luring Myles Garrett. Huge NFL 49ers news day. Everybody, it does a lot if you go and you hit the like button. Go and hit the subscribe button if you haven't yet. Just do it right now. It helps the channel greatly. Then go check out the San Francisco Standard. A lot of good stuff up there. Thanks for watching. A lot of you on here. That's been really cool. We'll talk to you soon.